Well, as Bob said, I'm from Morgantown, have a business. Have 5 kids, actually. You want to laugh? My oldest child is 28 years old, and she's married. So I actually have 6 kids, because I have her, my son-in-law as well. And my youngest is 8 years old. She's my spiritual director. Okay? And she truly is a spiritual director, believe me. I want us to start by, first of all, I want to say thank you for all the prayers, and I felt them. I felt the prayers coming from your silence. It gives us power. When we pray for each other, you know, it gives us power. There's a lot of power in God. I want to start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Life. We're talking about new life. What is life? How do we define life? How do you all define life? Anybody? How do you define life? What is life? The cereal, right? Life cereal. Life cereal gives life. No, probably doesn't do it. What about the birth of anybody experienced the birth of a brother or sister? Old enough recently, maybe? New life. Well, you received new life in baptism, okay, and that was the start of the new life. Okay, it was just the start. Like Gabby talked about, the presence. That was the first presence, you know? Somebody chose it for you, okay? That presence was opened up. You got some really, really great, there were some big things in that box of your baptism. Anybody know what was in the box of baptism? Moms and dads who chose baptism for these young people, what was in those boxes? The Spirit of God, absolutely. Not the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Faith is a gift. Truly a gift. Not the gift of faith. What else? Forgiveness. Oh, forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness of original sin. Some really special things in that first box of yoke. You know? Probably the next sacrament you had was reconciliation. Again, another opportunity for new life. Not just once, hopefully at least once a year. I hope you all go to reconciliation at least once a year. Our church calls for that. That's what she teaches. Because she knows that we need that. We need that forgiveness. We have to experience that grace that God has in the sacraments for us. And in the Eucharist, we're fed with new life. Every time we go up to the Eucharist, some of us probably go to daily Mass. If not daily, at least every Sunday. You know, it shouldn't be a chore. I know it's boring, right, for all those reasons, you know. The altar boys mess around, and the father doesn't have a good homily, and the music's bad, and all those things that you know, make masses. But you know what? It's not about that. That's not masses. That's not what the Eucharistic celebration is about. It's about the opportunity for you to experience new life. It's about the opportunity for you to come and say, thank you, Jesus. I hope I hear lots and lots of thank you, Jesus. This room throughout this weekend and beyond. God is so good to us. Look at us. Look at all the people in this room. You're all beautiful. Beautiful. All in God's image. All in God's image and likeness. You know what life is? Life's a journey. That's what it is. Life's a journey. And we have a choice on that journey. There's really only two things that we can choose on that journey. The first thing, we can choose ourselves. Okay? And we do that all the time. We separate ourselves from the presence of Christ by choosing ourselves. So it's all about me. It's I'm the most important person in the world. Mom and Dad, don't tell me what to do. I know. I'm 12 years old already. I've experienced the world, right? Now, I'm 52 and I haven't experienced it yet. I still go to my mom. I wish I had my dad here. God bless him. He's God in heaven. Or we can choose God. And choosing God is not an easy choice. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not easy. I know you all are struggling. Okay? Probably, if you were anxious about coming here this weekend, and there were probably many things that you'd rather be doing. And probably somebody twisted your arm, made you come, and maybe even came along with you to support you. And you got to tell your parents thank you. Those ones that your parents came, the ones that your parents forced you to come, thank you. Okay? Because they're giving you an opportunity for new life. They're trying to put you on the journey past yourself. I want to tell you something about that journey. It takes a lot of courage to choose God in your life over yourself. It makes you vulnerable. Is everybody here bold? You have boldness? If somebody comes up in your face, what do? You go right up at them, right? That's a boldness. You've got to curb that boldness. Take that boldness and give it to God. Because after all, God gave you everything you have. Everything that you have. When do we go looking for God? When we need something. And he's right there by our side all the time, walking with us. As a matter of fact, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I'm a parent, you know, of 5 kids. I told you that already. And there's something parents have this. Well, I'm just going to get past that. I know what every one of you are thinking right now. I really do. Everybody in this room, I know what all of you are thinking. Exactly. I know what's going on in your mind, right? You know, all the thoughts of God. Imagine that. Imagine if that I really do. I know what everyone in this room is thinking right now. I just want you to think about that in silence for a minute. I'm going to come sit down and think about it too, because you all are just blowing my mind with all the stuff that's going on in my brain right now. Got a headache? Just close your eyes and think about that, because you might want to think twice before you think about the next thought. During the time when Samuel was a minister to the Lord under Eli, a revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. One day, Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had lately grown so weak that he couldn't see. The lamp of God was not yet extinguished, and Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as of yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me."
Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling you. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Well, I know that you know that I really don't know what everybody in this room is thinking. Okay? But somebody does.
God knows every thought in your mind. Every thought in your mind.
The next time you have an ill thought, think about that. Remember who God is. The Creator. The one who's given you everything that you have. Who doesn't desire this loss. Now to what I'm here for. This is a witness. I'm a cradle Catholic. Grew up across from Franciscan Friary in Morgantown. With Franciscans, at that time when I was younger than you, actually, five priests and a couple of brothers, and it was in a very rural area, very rural part of Morgantown at that time. Now it's like overpopulated, but all the boys in the community would come together to play ball at the Friary. There were three of us. We didn't quite make a team, but. And we'd sing Kumbaya's, you know, and God was working in me at that time, and I didn't know it, you know. I was like Samuel. It was about me. It was about me. And so as I started to grow, you know, I continued to go to church. Always went to church every Sunday, because that's what good Catholics do, right? Go to church every Sunday. I got to be a teenager and became pretty rebellious. I was the oldest of three kids. I had two sisters and just like all of us, the opportunities are out there for us to get mixed up in the wrong things. Get mixed up with the wrong people. And that's what happened to me. You know, but I still went to church. It was amazing. I don't, well, you know, maybe it was because my parents said I had to, but I continued to go to church, and I always felt like I had a lot of strength on Sunday, but as soon as Monday came, I lost it all. You know, I lost all that strength that I got on Sunday. I didn't associate it with strength at that time, you know, but it was like the capacity to do right. Anybody have a conscience in here? Anybody? Is that right? That's cool. You know what your conscience is, don't you? What's your conscience? Yeah. What do we call it in the church? What do we call our conscience? Do we have a name for it? Anybody know? We utilize it. This part utilizes free will for our thought process, but we actually call it something else. Adults? It's God talking to us, but we call it. See, God said something really important in Genesis. He said that He created man in His own image and likeness. What did He mean when He was saying that? He meant He put part of Himself in each and every one of us. Not just each and every one of us. Every person in the world has a part of God right within them. It's called their soul. Or we can call it our conscience. You know? We get all mixed up in our lives and convoluted, like I did when I was a teenager, you know. I thought I did good things for my heart. You know? In my mind, I was smart. Made straight A's in school, never took a book home. Never took a book home. Straight A's. It was just, school was a breeze. physics, calculus, all the classes. I didn't have a clue. I was so confused it was unreal. I never connected with my soul. It was all about my heart and my mind. The smarter I can be, the more money I can make, you can have the world. The world is right out there for us. It's right there for us. But you know what? As Catholic Christians, we have to find our soul. Because then the world's going to be right out there for us still. But it's going to be there for us in a different way. So, you know, I go to college, and wasn't doing what I wanted to do. This wasn't what I wanted to be doing. You know? This is what my parents wanted. This is what society told me I was supposed to do because, you know, I made good grades, so you go to college. I was going to be a dentist. Okay? I want to be a dentist. Maybe some of you want to be dentists. We hope so, because we need everybody. But I didn't want to be a dentist. Okay? I didn't know what I wanted to be, but it wasn't a dentist. So I quit school. I got a job. And was trying to figure out myself. Went through some other trials and tribulations in that time. But I always felt this strong connection to church. Never could answer. I could count on my hand with three fingers how many times I've missed Mass in my life on Sunday. That's the truth. Three times. And two of those times were a year ago when I was in Honduras on a mission trip and I didn't have access to a Catholic church. One time when I was a youth and through my adult life I missed Mass. Just one time. But I never was connected until probably in my mid-30s. And something happened. The funny part about it was when I thought back to my early church life, my early family life, I went to this friary that I told you about. And it's right across the street. I mean, I lived right across the street from it. And anybody in here live right across the street from the church? Is that right? Church is holy ground. It's holy ground. Spend time there. There were two components at the friary. There were the Sunday morning Mass people. Okay, the ones that just came to Mass. And then there were those other people, those charismatic people. Those, like, really strange people, you know? Like, they speak in tongues. Yeah. They're strange. That can't be real. There's nothing. Now, you see, what happens is we become the voice of our parents. You know how much you're like your parents? I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. Conversation at the dinner table, if you have the opportunity to have dinner as a family, I hope you do, you know. The conversations that mom and dad have in the secrecy of the rec room at home, where everybody's there. That becomes what we become. And that's where my parents were. So that's where I was. These people were strange people, you know. So, and this Father Jude Milley, who a lot of people in the room here, especially the people on the team. He was a friend of mine. He'd come to the friary in 1965. Anybody in here in this group born? Or even, is that right? Were you there? Cool, okay. Then you can relate to this. Okay. So I grew up with it. That's what I grew up with, thinking that this was a strange thing. You know, well, this was the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's the advocate, you know, the gift that Jesus gave to the apostles of Pentecost. The gift that you're going to be given at confirmation. Well, not really. The gift that you already have because you were given it at baptism. You received this gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Confirmation's when you do what? How do they explain confirmation to you? What is it? What's confirmation? Go ahead. Yeah. Well, it comes alive inside of you through whose choice? The Holy Spirit's already there. We've got the Holy Spirit baptism. We were filled with the Holy Spirit baptism. So that Holy Spirit's been brewing and bubbling inside of you now for 12 years, 13 years, 14. Is that pretty? 14-year-olds here? 14? 12. Is 12 the youngest in your group? 12-year-old, 12 to 14 now. So that Holy Spirit's been bubbling and brewing. You know, when you go to Sunday Mass, when you get reconciliation, every time you have Eucharist, you know. Okay, just waiting. Just confirmation that, like, explodes. That's what confirmation needs to be. Confirmation is when you explode with the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Spirit is when you explode with the Holy Spirit. Confirmation is not magical. There's nothing magical about faith. It's the journey. It's the journey that you choose. When you choose the journey of God, God's going to make you explode. It might be tonight. As a matter of fact, I know for some of you, the Holy Spirit's going to explode in you tonight. I know it. I can feel it already. I just know it. But you have to surrender. You see, you have to choose that part of your journey. It can't be about you. See, it was all about me. I was, you know, it was about me. You know. Well, one day I was in my early 30s, and I said, maybe these people aren't as strange as I think they are. Got to know some of them, some other capacities and whatnot. So there was a healing mass that was going to take place, and I said, well, I think I'm going to go take part in this. I want to see how crazy these people really are, you know. And so I went, and I stood there, and mass is mass. Youth mass. Charismatic mass. Tridentine mass. Call it what you want. Mass is mass. It's the opportunity for us to go and give God thanks. It's about Him. It's not about us. Whenever you start to look at mass that way, it'll never be born again. Because God's going to be speaking to you all the way through it. I guarantee it. Doesn't matter how bad the music is. Doesn't matter how tired you are. You're going to be fully engaged because you're going to be putting this in perspective that it's all about God. It's not about you. Okay? So, I go to this Mass, and Mass was Mass. It was great. And then they called for people to come up and be prayed. And I stood there, and you know, I had some health issues. I had arthritis, you know, and I said, well, you know what? It's worth a try, right? Anything's worth a try. So, I'm going to do this. I'm going to surrender. It's about surrender. Remember I talked about that word earlier on. You know? It's about surrendering ourselves. We are very reluctant to surrender. Anybody here write a book? Get any offers? Any adults write a book? Do you write the end of the book first, or do you write the beginning of the book first? You write the beginning of the book first. We write the end of the book in our lives all the time. Well, if I do this, I know that that's going to happen. Right? Ever do that in your life? We do that. That's what we do. We write. And what happens? We work for that end. We work for that end. I challenge you not to do that. Don't project what the end is going to be. Open yourself up for what God has in store for you. Well, that night, God had something in store for me. You know, I got prayed over. I should rest in the Spirit. That changed my life. It changed. Here I was. I was married, had a career. Was father, you know, changed my life. It started to change my things. see, we affect the people that we associate with. We affect our friends. This group, you're affecting each other here this week. You're affecting me. You're affecting your parents and the people on the team. We have an effect on each other. Okay? I was affected. These people aren't crazy anymore. You know? Crazy in love with God. That's what they were. Crazy in love with God. The person that I should be crazy in love with. The person that we all should be crazy in love with. For God loved you first. God loved you first. Before you ever were. God loved you. How could you not love God? How could you not love him? So my life started to change. I started to do more of that type thing. Expose myself to more and more. And open myself up to the journey that God had in store for me. Rather than the journey that I had in store for myself. I had chosen the journey before that. You know, retirement, wealth. There was a time, not so long ago in my life, that I could not work on Saturday. I had to be there. I mean, it's the business. If I'm not there on Saturday, well, God forbid, Monday's not going to come. Not true. It's not true. Because whenever I started to surrender to God, my whole life started to change. Not for the worse, by no means, but for the better. I worked less. Still work a lot, but I worked less. But I love what I do, too. That's the thing. I love what I do. It's to get to interact with a lot of people. The means were there. When I was in need, everything was taken care of. God started to provide what I needed. And my families and my life started to simplify. It's amazing. Life's complicated, people. Life is complicated. Ask your parents. If you think it's complicated for you, ask your parents. How am I going to get Bobby to this? And Julie to that, and still do that, and take care of this. It's a juggle. You think it's hard trying to study for two tests in one night? Piece of cake. Piece of cake. Okay? Until you give it to God. And then, I got on this council. I got invited. I got called by a priest. Who I always disagreed with. You know. He calls me up one day and he said, you know, he said, our Bishop Schmidt at that time, God rest his soul, has called for a diocesan pastoral council. And we need a representative from our vicariate. And your name came to my mind. Father Carl Bauer. Am I supposed to be flattered? Or what? Or am I supposed to serve? So I prayed about it. And I did it. And I just bring that up because I was at a meeting one weekend. Bishop Schmidt had Mass. And this is how he started the Mass. This is the truth. He comes walking in the processional. Dragging a suitcase behind him. So we're singing the entrance song, and he's dragging this suitcase behind him. It's not on wheels or anything. You know, dragging it behind him, kind of stumbling. And he literally comes up to the altar, and he flings it around, and he dumps it out. And clothes fly all over the place. Clothes fly all over the place. See, that's what Mass is about. We come full of crap. We give it all to him. And it changes our life forever. Once again, I invite you to just dump yourself out. So I looked at that and I experienced it. Because my life's full of crap too. That really makes sense. You know, I want to start dumping my crap here on Sunday morning. And that's what I did. That's what I do. That's what I still do. Every Sunday I come, I try and get Mass 15 minutes early. Think about all the crap that's going on in my life, spend a little bit of time in preparation. You know, preparation's figuring out where all the crap is in your life, you know. So I can dump it on the altar that day. So Mass started to have more meaning. So I'm on this journey now. Now I'm on this journey. It's about God and what God has in store for me. And what, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, I said, be careful what you say. I love God more than I love you. That was the Holy Spirit. You know what? I love God. That's what I told my wife. And I love my wife more than anything in the world except for God. Okay? And she took it the wrong way initially. And I looked at her with profoundness. And I said, you know, I said, because I can't love you for all that you are until I first love God. I challenge you with that. I challenge your parents with that. You can't love your kids until you love God first. Because when you love God first, and you can't love your parents, truly love your parents until you love God first. This is all new life. This is all new life. This, we're opening up the packages as we go. I'm just opening up packages in my life every day. Okay? And then God starts to speak to me. Believe me, God speaks. God, not only does He speak to you, you know, I was just sitting in the church one day. It wasn't Mass. Just sitting in the church praying. And I think I was going to have to sleep, to be honest with you. I was just spending time, quiet time with the Lord. And Jesus appeared to me. Full body. A cloud of light. I mean that. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life. And He said to me, He said, "Son, I have many things in store for you." And I was taken. He's there, people. He is right there for us. He's just waiting. All we have to do is say yes to the journey. Say yes to the opportunities that exist. This weekend is an opportunity for you all. But not only is it an opportunity for you, it's an opportunity for everybody in this room. It is an opportunity for everybody in this room. Tonight at Mass, I want you to bring your crap. I want you to dump it on the altar. And then when the gifts are presented to the altar tonight, I want you to put yourself in the arms of whoever brings the gifts up. Does that make sense? Anybody, you all ever present the gifts to the altar? Ever carry the gifts forward? The bread and wine. Have you ever done that? Okay. I'll tell you what I do every Sunday, or every Mass I go to. I'm in those people's arms. I just vision them carrying me up, putting me in Father's hands, and Father takes me up, puts me on the table. Puts me on the table. Because that's what's happening. That's what's going on. He puts me on the table, and He calls down the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills us. Confirmation is an outward sign. Baptism is inward. Confirmation, if the Spirit doesn't come alive in you and you become some of the best. Anybody know what an apologist is? Anybody know what an apologist is? Any adults? Anybody listen to Catholic apologists? Nobody. Oh, you got to listen to apologists. Because they don't ever apologize for the faith. They defend it. An apologist is a defender of the faith. Listen to him. Because that gives us the defense that we need to be able to defend our faith. Through the power of who? Who's the advocate? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Because it's through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's what's flowing in and out of us all the time into our soul. You know? We can do really, really great things with our heart. Oh man, I know this person in need. I'm going to go help them out. Well, is that what God wants you to do? Because it might not be the same. God's got something in store for you, just like He told me that day. Big things in store for you. Well, now I'm going to begin to end my story. Something really special happened to me about 2 years ago. And that is that God, our bishop, Bishop Ransfield, called for a deacon class. And I must have had 100 people tell me that I should apply. And I was reluctant. You know, I said, especially when I read the paper and it said that you have to commit to full-time ministry, okay, and possible relocation. I've lived in Morgantown all my life. All my life. That's where I was born. As a matter of fact, I've lived at the same location, not in the same house, but at the same location for 50 years. 50 years. I told some friends of mine, I said, you know, if I apply to this program, I get accepted, and I am ordained, I might have to move. Well, you're crazy. Why would you ever do that? You've got a business. I said, no. I said, that's what He's calling for. See, because if we go in God's direction, He's going to provide everything that we need. The journey. You have a choice to make right now. And maybe it won't happen now. But whenever it happens, whenever you start to look at your journey seriously in your life, choose God. Choose God. He'll never let you down. He loves you. Your heart and your mind will let you down. Your soul, your conscience will never, ever let you down. As long as you commit to Him. I got something to give to everybody. I hold a crucifix. You know, our brothers and sisters in Christianity see what? The cross, right? Cross. Why do you think we as Catholics see the crucifix? And this crucifix up here is just absolutely beautiful. Why do we see the crucifix? How are we different? There's a way that we're really, really different than our Christian brothers and sisters. You know what it is? This is it, by the way. The difference between this and this. I'm sorry? Jesus' corpus is on the crucifix. Absolutely. And what is that a symbol for us? What He did for us, yeah. And what He did for us, so we also as Christians. Sacrifice. We've got the symbol of sacrifice. Just to sum up where I started at. The journey to Catholic Christianity requires sacrifice. Something happens in sacrifice. And that's peace and joy and love. And those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit start to happen to us. When things are going all haywire in our lives, we start to smile. Because we have peace. Because we have joy. I want you to spend a little bit of time looking at my brother Bob. If you ever see him without a smile, I want you to let me know. He's full of joy. He's full of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself today. Don't wait another minute. Today. To put yourself on his journey. And he's got big and better things in store for you than everything that you have right now. And I ask for your prayers as I have just completed 1 year of theological study in the diaconate program. I have 4 more years. It's a long road, but it's all worth it for him, and it'll go by really quickly. But I ask for your prayers. And I want you to always remember something in your life, and that is the I is you. Make a difference. You make a difference.